you have your Bible with you, we ask that you would turn with us. Now, we're going to read a reading lesson that focuses on one of Jesus' parables, but it's going to be recorded by two different writers of the gospel, Matthew and Luke. And so we're going to ask you to turn with us, if you have a Bible with you, to the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, and then over to the 6th chapter of the book of Luke, and the 47th verse. So as each and every one is turning there with us today, we want to say that we're thankful for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for these writers that penned down everything that our Lord said or that he did. In this particular instance, we find that this comes from the Sermon on the Mount. And there were various things that the Lord brought out in this scripture. The two ways that everyone faces in life, the decision of which way to go. Every one of us will come at some point, everyone, at some point where that they'll come to a fork in the road. Now, I'm not talking about where somebody threw their utility kit or threw their plate out with the fork on it. That's not what we're talking about. But it happens to be a diverse type a pathway that we choose from, and Christ addresses that. And then he warns against falling into the teachings of false teachers, those that preach not the gospel, the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the dilemma and the tragedy of a profession without faith, and what can happen to an individual that fails to find God. So we're going to start with the 24th verse of this chapter in the book of Matthew. And if you care to read along with it, we invite you to read with us. Therefore, and this is going to conclude his sermon, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat upon that house, and it fell not. Why? Because it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And notice what he says in that same verse of scripture. And great was the fall of it. Now, we're going to look at what Luke wrote as concerning that. And there's not going to be much difference in what Matthew wrote and what Luke wrote. In the 47th verse of the 6th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, same setting, the Sermon upon the Mount, the last thing that he will say, it says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house, and notice what he says, he digged deep and laid the foundation upon a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, I've correctly read those are in the sixth and in the seventh chapters of the book, according to, according to Matthew and according to the book of Luke. And our theme will come from the 11th chapter, and you don't need to necessarily turn there, but you can if you want, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in the 11th verse. Where that he says, where the Apostle Paul wrote and said these words, "For other foundation can no man lay, than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus." In other words, there's no sure foundation that can be laid except that foundation is upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to leave with you this thought. Christ is the sure foundation. Even in a time, even in an episode of our lives and of what we go through, he is the only foundation that one can build his spiritual life. And then he's the only foundation upon that spiritual life that he can build. Now, the Bible tells us and teaches us, even in this reading of this scripture today, that a sure foundation will stand up against any kind of element, up against any kind of situation, any kind of calamity that may come. And I'm not a carpenter. I'm by far not able to give any advice as to how to drive a nail into a tube before. But I do know this, just from experience and just from what I've heard others say, that you can build a luxurious house. You can build a mansion, if you will. But if that mansion's foundation is not sure, and is not strong, and is not steadfast, eventually that mansion is going to fall. Of course, that's just common sense. Over time, as the weight of that mansion or that house or whatever that it might be will press upon that foundation. And if that foundation is not sure and steadfast and built upon something solid, it's going to fall. And that's how it is with our soul. That's how it is with our spiritual life. We find today that Christ made that emphasis, that it's so important to make sure that your foundation is founded upon something that is going to last. Now, sometimes whenever that I preach this, I don't have anybody in mind, but I kind of remember that there are people that are going to be viewing or listening to this on YouTube. And it's not that I'm ignoring you, and it's not that I'm forgetting you, but my friend, I'm thankful today that the gospel goes out into the world. That's who needs it today. They need something sure and steadfast to build their life and their soul upon. And you know, Paul emphasized that so much in the text that we read in your hearing. There's no other foundation that's sure and steadfast that an individual can build his life upon except to build it upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And a person might say, well, you know, I believe in Christ. I believe that he was. You know, there's some religions today that will go with you up to the point that will say that Christ was a great prophet. He said great things. But whenever that it talks about the divinity of Christ, his holiness, that he came from the Father, that he is the Son of God, they kind of back up from that because they cannot envision that God would have a son and that this son would come into the world and this son would come for one purpose, and that is to die for the sins of mankind. And we find today that though some other people will reject him, reject why that he came, and there's some that will try to build it up on other things of life. And the devil will give you all kinds of things to build upon to make as your foundation. Some people believe today that the more material things that they can have, the better off that they are, that they're a success. And, you know, we look at people like Elon Musk. We think to ourselves, man, that guy has got it made. Or we look at others, you know, that are far exceeding in wealth. And we find today that some of those, now I don't know about Elon Musk. You know, I'm not going to judge him. God knows his heart. But I want you to know today, if anyone's heart is built upon, if his foundation is built upon the material things of his life, there comes a time whenever that foundation will eventually collapse and will eventually go by the wayside. Do you know today that the dollar has just a very fragile value to it? The value of it can go up and down, just like that. And it can have no value whatsoever. The stock market can do the same thing. What was the trend at one time, say today, maybe tomorrow, it'll drop and the bottom will drop out of it. My friend, we find today that even the pleasures of life offer no foundation whatsoever. Because you see today, the pleasures of this life, and I'm not talking about a hobby that you might have or anything like that, but I want you to know today that sometimes the pleasures of this life, the enticement of this life, will be what people build their house upon. Eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow that we die. And many of those that adhere unto that are those that are hoping that there is no eternity and hoping down deep inside that there's no afterlife, that there's no God that's going to judge them. And what a surprise that they get or will get whenever that they step off into eternity, of how that house, their lives, their soul, how they built it upon something that has no substance to it whatsoever. James said over in one place, what is your life? What is your life? It's even as a vapor that appeareth for a short time and is soon vanished away. I'm always so surprised whenever I look at the calendar. In fact, I don't celebrate birthdays much anymore because it just reminds me, oh my, I didn't know that I was going to get this far in life. Boy, at the age of 16, I didn't think about that. I just thought about, wow, the weekend comes, and I'll jump in the car with my 8-track or with some friends, and we'll go down to Bagnell Dam, and we'll hang out down there, and we'll just do all kinds of things, and that's all that we live for. That's all that we foresaw. We never thought about what lay beyond the age of 16, 17, 18. And in fact, I've gotten to this point, to this age, and I'm surprised that I'm here. But I want you to know what makes it so crucial today is that everybody is going to find themselves exactly in the same place. Your life appears as a vapor. You know, even as we came this way, there was a mist. It was coming up, you know, out of some of the areas, some of the woods. And, you know, I kind of watched it as I was trying to drive, but just kind of watched it. And it was amazing to me. There it was for a little while. And soon as the sun or daylight began to break, it just dissipated away. That's how life is today. He said, what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a short time, and soon it is passed away. People are building their hopes and their dreams and their life upon something that's not going to stand the test of time. You know, the trends that are now, if we're given 20 years, will not be the trends from 20 years from now. I don't even like to, whenever somebody I'm on an elevator with and they're playing some music from back in the day for me, try to answer their question, because I feel like a walking encyclopedia. And I feel like, oh my goodness, they probably think I need to be put in an antique store. But, you know, nevertheless, my heart, my spirit is the same as it was whenever the day that God saved my soul. That's my rock. That's my foundation today. That's my hope. And even as I serve Him, as God called me to preach and to deliver His message to a judgment-bound people, my friend, I want you to know that hope grows stronger and stronger. And I find my feet upon that solid foundation, that solid rock. And I'm so glad that God had led me and directed me by His Holy Spirit to this point in my life. We find today that my friend Christ Jesus is the only firm and stable and steadfast and eternal, if you will, eternal foundation that will never fade away and will never crumble. Do you know what says the Bible? Well, what the Bible says over in the book of Hebrews in the 13th chapter? It says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. He's still the same. My friend, He has the same desire. You know what His desire is? It's still the same as when He walked upon this earth, is that all may come unto God, that we might seek out the lost and that they might be saved by God's grace. Because I'll tell you, my friend, what many on the broad road, that road that I told you about in the beginning, on that broad road, there's going to be many that will take the easy path, the broad road, the wide road. They see everybody on. Oh, everybody is going in this direction, the way of the world. It must be right because they're all on it. You know, today, my friend, the majority is not always right. You read over in the Old Testament, whenever that the majority of the children of Israel decided Moses has been gone, what's become of him? Well, let's build a calf. Let's worship it. It'll be our God. And you know, the majority of them went along with it, except for a few. But my friend, that majority was wrong. And I want you to know today, my friend, when it goes against the will and the purpose of God today, it's wrong. No matter what. What He says in His Word doesn't change. He doesn't add an amendment to it and say, well, you know, these people in the 21st century, and, you know, they're enlightened. Yeah, they're enlightened. And so we're just going to amend, you know, what it says over in the Bible. Maybe sin is not really sin. Maybe, my friend, good is not really good. We'll just kind of mix them up there, and we'll choose our own truth. I want to tell you something today. There's only one absolute truth in this world today. Jesus Himself said it. He said in John 14, verse 6, He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody can come unto the Father except through Me. He is that foundation. Now, to those that might be listening in other places, who is and what is your foundation? What are you relying upon today to get you through? What are you relying upon whenever that, my friend, the end of life comes? What are you looking unto? I want to tell you something. You're not going to take it with you. And you're not going to take whatever brings you pleasure and joy and what your foundation is today. You're not going to take it with you. And the evidence of that, we can look over into Egypt where that the children of Israel came out of. And you know that they built pyramid after pyramid after pyramid there. The kings, the pharaohs. Do you know why they did that? They believed in the afterlife, that they needed a chariot, that they needed horses, that they needed slaves, that they needed their gold. They even found, whenever that they excavated those, that there was even food there, that there was even grain there. And you know, today, I would guarantee unto you, whenever that Ramses II or Pharaoh left the walks of this life, he didn't take any of that with him. My friend, you're not going to see behind a hearse a travel trailer that's going to take everything that you have based your life upon. You're not going to take it with you. But my friend, it's going to be left behind. And we find, my friend, that there are those in the scriptures that the Bible tells us and warns us about. There was a rich young ruler that came unto Jesus, and he was wealthy. Now, I want to qualify something today. Wealth is not wrong when wealth is used in the right way. You hear what I'm saying today? Abraham was a wealthy man. David became a wealthy man. And my friend, wealth is not what the problem would be with building a foundation. But I'll tell you what the problem is whenever that we find in the book of Timothy, it says in one place, it says the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says the love, the covetousness, the selfishness of it is. And I want to tell you something today. My friend, that rich young ruler, he was blessed with all kinds of things. And he, my friend, knew that there was something more to it, to life, than just the foundation of wealth that he had built on. Because he came unto Jesus and he said to Jesus, he said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And I want to tell you something. Jesus asked of us that we surrender our life and our soul unto him. But this young man couldn't. Christ was too great. Jesus said unto his the disciples said unto Jesus, "Who then can be saved?" And he said, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a man laden with riches." He didn't say for a rich man, but he said a man laden with riches to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Riches are wonderful today. I'm glad that God has blessed people today. But I want you to know that you're going to leave it behind. A person's going to leave it behind. You find today, my friend, that certain types of religions today, people are building themselves and their faith upon shifting sand. Do you know today, my friend, that the most popular faiths and the most popular religions today, they're going to change. They'll seek after something else. That's the shiftness of sand today. We find an example over in the third chapter of the book of John where that there was a man by the name of Nicodemus. There was something that was bothering him. There was something upon his heart, upon his mind. And he came unto Jesus by night. And here's what he said, "Rabbi," or "teacher, we know that thou art sent from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except that God be with him." He would go that far. That's what Nicodemus had built his life upon. Upon a religious structure, upon a religious code, if you will. But Jesus looked beyond Nicodemus and down into his heart, and he got right to the crux of the matter. He said, "Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except that a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And I want to tell you something today, my friend. The religiosity of the world, what they call religion today, will not be the foundation that will get them into heaven. Now, I'm not here to criticize. I don't call denominations. But I want to tell you what I look for in the faith of God. Do they preach the gospel of the Son of God? That God was incarnate, that he was born of a virgin, that he lived a perfect life, that he went to the cross of Calvary as a sacrifice for us all. He gave his life's blood. He died. He arose again the third day, and he's ascended up into heaven. That's what I look for. That's what I feel today that the world needs. And they need that foundation because, my friend, there's nothing sure and steadfast that's going to stand up under the test of time. He told Nicodemus that he must be born again. And whenever that we build upon Christ, we find today in the third chapter, in 17th verse of the book of John, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. My friend, I'm thankful that there is such a thing as everlasting, eternal. And notice what he says, life. People will agree with you that there's an eternity. Some people will. But what comes in eternity? What is life? And what is an eternal death? Do you know there's an eternal death in eternity? Whenever the people reject not just you, but they reject the Son of God, the foundation. If they don't go under the one that has the materials and has what's needed to build their house upon a solid rock, upon a solid foundation, when they reject that, my friend, when they leave the walks of this life, they experience an eternal death. And you might say, well, what proof, preacher, do you have of that? If you look over into the 17th chapter of the book of Luke's gospel, and I know my opinion, this is just opinion, I don't follow that this was necessarily a parable. I think Jesus opened up the very doors of eternity, and he gave a glimpse of what eternity is like. There was a beggar by the name of Lazarus, he said, who died. And he said, the angels carried him into the bosom of Abraham. In other words, into paradise, into heaven itself. When a saint of God dies, I want to tell you something. I don't know if angels come for them. Maybe they do. I don't know if the chariot of God comes for them. Maybe they do. But I do know this, Paul said in one place. He said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And I believe we go into the presence of Almighty God. Now, I'm not going to try to outline anybody's theology about this and that and the other, but I do know this. The only way into heaven is through by and in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he gives us a glimpse of what the alternative is. A man who failed to repent, did not heed even unto what the account of Moses was. And you know, the Bible tells us that he died also. But where did he wind up? He didn't wind up in heaven. He wound up in hell. And it says that he opened his eyes and lifted up his eyes, and he was in hell, separated from God. Do you know today, my friend, I wouldn't want my worst enemy. I wouldn't want even the enemies of our country or whatever to go off into eternity without God. Because we find that the Bible tells us a little bit about it. It's separation from God. It's darkness today. There is no light that is there. There is no mercy of God that comes down. And someone will say, well, that's not very popular preaching today, preacher. You're not going to win friends and influence people with that. But oh, I want to tell you, I'm trying to bring before the truth that there's a heaven to gain, there's a hell to shun. And it depends upon what kind of foundation that individual has. He lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment. And the Bible said he could see afar off, and he could see Lazarus there. He was resting in the bosom of Abraham. We used to sing a song. I don't know how we ever got away with it, but we used to sing a song in our high school choir called Rock of My Soul in the Bosom of Abraham. Boy, I remember that. I remember that. Rock of My Soul in the Bosom of Abraham. Boy, we'd really get with it. Man, we'd just, you know, couple of my friends and I, we just sway back and forth, and choir director didn't much care for it at that point, but nevertheless, you know, you get to thinking about it. You're in the presence of Almighty God. You're in the presence of the patriarchs. You're in the presence of one that saw the day of Christ and rejoiced in it today. You're in the presence of those patriarchs, those saints in the Old Testament. You mean the saints of the Old Testament will be there? They sure will. But the alternative, and that was the saddest part of the song we sang, "Rich man, Dives, he lived so well. Dip your finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in the plains." And when he died, he went to hell. Dip your finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in these flames. Just a drop of water was all that he asked for. Just one drop of mercy, but no mercy is given. But yet there was some way that he was able to communicate. And my friend, to speak unto Father Abraham. He said, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus back." And I know it sounds like I'm preaching a revival sermon here, but I want to tell you, my friend, people have got to get their eyes up. And they got to look at what they're built upon today, what their foundation is. If it isn't upon Christ, if it isn't upon the rock, and he is the rock, he is the one to build your house upon. If they're not built upon him, my friend, they'll spend their time in eternity with that rich man. Ah, send Lazarus back, dip his finger in the water, cool my tongue. Said there's a great gulf. And I want to tell you, people don't like to talk about finalities, do they? That something is final, that there's somehow some reprieve, but there's not. There's not. And I want to let you know this today. There's a danger in building upon the wrong foundation for people to build upon it today. A great, great danger. And we find today that the Bible teaches us, and I'll go a little bit further with what Paul said, when we have that foundation, which is Christ, and I'll just leave this with you today, take heed as to what you add to that foundation of Christ. We can add unto it, he said, either silver or gold or precious stones that'll stand the test of time. Or we can build upon it wood, hay, and stubble, the things of this world. I want to tell you, I wish I had some of my life back to do over, to have put more precious stones into it. But that's me. But I want to tell you this day, the only thing that's going to abide is what you do for God and what you do for his cause and what you do in his name today. And I want you to realize today that as we draw closer and closer to this revival, do you know that one day revival opportunities will come to an end? The last altar call will be given. The last invitation, the last draw of God's Holy Spirit speaking to the hearts of the lost will cease. And there'll be no more preaching of the gospel as we know it today. There'll be no more pleading with sinners. And today, if you're listening to this, and my friend, you're rejecting it. You're not rejecting me. You are rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, because he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He will be your foundation. He will be the one, my friend, that'll go with you. It says he sticketh closer than a brother. My friend, he'll be the one that whenever that the winds blow and the rains come and the floods ascend, then my friend, your foundation will be sure, will be steadfast, will be eternal today. He is one, my friend, that makes it possible that you and I can go through this world and we can truly say, as the psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So unto you that are saved today, God bless your heart. You got a foundation. You've got a sure and steadfast one. My friend, doesn't matter what happens in this world, you've got something that will stand the test of time. Time for us is swiftly changing. Not of earth can understand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Stand and sing that chorus with me today, if you will. To God's unchanging hand. To God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. To God's unchanging hand. God bless you is my prayer. I'm thankful for every one of you today that God has saved your soul. He's put you upon a solid rock, a solid foundation. My friend, he will never fail you. He will never leave you today. He will never forsake you, no matter what may befall you. God bless you is my prayer. God be with you.